Can you hear me now? Is that Verizon? Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. We're in Acts, the seventh chapter. We'll be going to about verse 36. Peter did first sermon here on Pentecost. What do you think about his sermon? What can you tell me about his sermon? Okay. What? Okay. Anybody else? Who was he talking about in the in his sermon? Jesus the Christ, right? All right. Do you remember the night that they came and got Jesus? What did Peter do? Do what?
Cut off the ear of a soldier.
Okay. He cut off the ear of a soldier with that way. What kind of move, or what did you think about him when he did that?
It's still the mindset that it's an earthly kingdom, not a heavenly kingdom.
Okay. Now, later on, when he's up there and they're talking to him, kind of a trial like, mock trial with that, what does Peter do then? Deny him not once, not twice, but three times. And you see that there, well, what? This is the same Peter he cut the ear off? And here he turns around and denies him three times? Now, this is Peter now on the day of Pentecost. What do you think about Peter now?
Bold.
You see here, and you're going to see probably this lesson, and when we get in the third and fourth chapter, because he does the second sermon in the third chapter, and you can see that it's not all that harmless, that there's going to be some trials and persecution coming along. People are not going to accept this very willingly, that Jesus is the Christ. But here he preaches this sermon about Jesus here, and he starts off with, in verse 36, this is where I want to begin. He says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know, surely, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So he tells them now here at the end of this he come out, the summation here, verse 36, the summation of his sermon to the children of Israel. He says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel," let you know this, that surely that God, our God, our Father, that same God here, has made this Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, authority and the Messiah. So can you imagine what that's going to make them feel like when they heard this at the summation here? That we have not only murdered, but we have crucified Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Messiah. Do you not think that had an effect upon them? Knowing that here they've been waiting for the Messiah. That's who they've been looking for. They know that the Scripture, that the Messiah is coming. And they had great expectation for the Messiah. And what have you done, you men of Israel? You crucified him. The one that God has anointed, Lord and Christ. The one with all authority. And the Messiah that you were looking for, you have crucified him. And that's the reason you see him find in verse 37. Now when they heard this, the summation here, the whole lesson too, but when he comes down to the summation here, how he drove it home, what they did, they were cut to the heart. Or some New King James, or the King James Version says pricked in the heart. Now you can imagine, if I was here with them like that, and I was there that night, and I would tell them, yes, crucify him. Yeah, we let this other guy go, but crucify him. We want him dead. We want him killed. And now they have just heard what they have done in their mob reaction, what they've done. And he said, it cut them to their heart. It made a really strong impression upon them. Look what we have done. And he says, now to Peter and to the rest of the apostles. They're looking at Peter now. Peter's doing the talking, but they're looking at Peter and the rest of the apostles. Says, men and brethren, what shall we do? What's that question? What are they asking here? What shall we do? Right. We have sinned greatly. We have killed the Lord and the Messiah. And we understand that it cut us to the heart. This is a grave thing that we have done. Rose.
Well, to go back, it's not just that they killed him. They have shed innocent blood. He's guilty of nothing.
Right, he's guilty. But we've been waiting for the Messiah. This is the man we've been waiting for. And we crucified him. Now what can we do now? This is horrible. What we have done, we realize, we are remorseful for that. We understand what we have done. We understand it. That we killed the Lord and the Messiah, the Christ. Now what can we do about it though? Well, that's when Peter says, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, do you think they understood that? What he said there? Yeah, but I tell you what, there's a lot of misunderstanding on this verse right here. I think it's pretty straightforward right here. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. What do you think that means? Do you understand what that means? What does that mean? Well, tell me what that says. All right. You started off to right. Change your mind. Change your way. You went to the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction. Change yourself. After you do that first. He says you got to do two things. Repent and be baptized. That's "and" in there. You repent first. change your mind, change your will, and then be baptized for the remission of sin. You are in sin. And the way to get rid of that is to be baptized. Now, is this the first time you've heard this? Who came before?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. All right. Let's look at something there. Go to Matthew. I think it's the third chapter. Yeah. Matthew 3. Starting with verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who, was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And this is what John the Baptist is fulfilling this prophecy. He's becoming before the Lord, preparing the way. Verse 4, John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. All right, now let's turn to, it's Mark or John. Mark, first chapter. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his pathway." That's John the Baptist. Verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. And all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So you have had this before. John the Baptist has come in here before and preparing the way. And he was out telling them, you need to repent and be baptized for remission. For the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is coming. It's coming. And what did Jesus say before he left? Is it John? Nope. Let's go to, I think it's Luke. I won't. Yeah, Luke, the last chapter, verse 24. Start with verse 46. And he said to them, this is referring back to the apostle of the 11. Verse 46, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until the end, until you are endured with power on high." So here, the apostles, before Jesus left, he would told them, it says, you're going to be baptizing here. This is what you need to be making disciples. This is how you make disciples. Now, here he comes along, and he preaches to them this, and they asked, what shall we do to be saved? And now he comes along and tells them, this is what it's going to take. You need to change your way. You need to repent and be baptized. You do those two things, you shall receive or for unto the remission of sin. If you want your sins to be remitted, what you have done, then you repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. What was John's purpose?
Well, I know that's making the way straight for the Lord.
And? Prepare the way for the Lord. This is what I'm trying to refer to here, is this concept of baptism and repentance and baptism is not really new to them.
If
they repented and were baptized, would their sin remitted? Is that what it did? It was fulfilled, but now when it comes on, what are we? He says, in the name of Jesus Christ now. That was not into the thing, but he was telling them to prepare the way for Jesus to come. It's not a practice run. I wouldn't say a practice one, but preparing the people. It's a preparation for the people that there is going to be a change coming, that this is the Christ, the Messiah. And that he tells them, that's what he's preaching. The one that before coming after me is the one that's so great that I cannot even, do his shoes, put them on. Book of Bob. So that's the one. That's the one you're looking for. Not me, but he's preparing the people for what's coming. All right. Yeah. Anybody can jump in anytime. I don't care. You don't hurt my feelings.
Baptism of John was for the remission of sin, in the sense as the atoning sacrifices of the Mosaic law was for the remission of sin too. All of it pointed towards Jesus Christ. So when they were baptized, when John's disciples were baptized for the remission of sins, their sins were not remitted at that moment, just like the animal sacrifices did to take away sin. They were a type of the blood of Christ that was going to be shed. But when Christ's blood was shed, then their sins were remitted. Their hearts had been prepared to repentance and to believe and follow, trust, and obey the Lord when he was revealed. And so when Ananias came teaching, knowing only the baptism of John, he was saying, your sins will be remitted when the Lord is revealed. Well, the Lord had been revealed. So that's where Aquila and Priscilla taught him the way of God more perfectly.
Well, there's a change coming. That's how he prepared the people for the change. And who is he preaching to? He was preaching to the Jews also. And who were they preaching to here at first? The Jews. They're all under the law. They're children of God with it. They understand that their sacrifice, their sins was not forgiven. But it laid up to... So, but this was to prepare the way that there is a change coming, that there is a new kingdom coming, and that is Christ, the Messiah. John was not the Messiah. He was prophesied. This is what he was talking about. He was prophesied for this, to prepare the way for the people, for Jesus to come and preach. Are we making any sense?
Yeah.
Kenny?
Well,
Wait a minute. Kenny? Andy?
Doug indicated that the baptism of John lived and died in the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And he was preaching, prepare the way, and asking people to dedicate themselves to sinless life as best they could. But the baptism of John didn't clothe you with Christ, didn't put you in Christ, didn't make you a member of the body. The body had not been established yet. And so, as everyone said, this is urging people to live a sinless life. It was under the law of Moses and all those things we read about the law of Moses, that the blood of bulls and goats didn't take away sin, nor did the baptism of John take away sin. But the sins were not remembered for a period of time all through those centuries, and the baptism of John was the same thing.
Yeah. The new covenant come about until the testator was dead. Was Christ. Pax? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Are we clear a little bit? All right. Oh, what? Excuse me. I'm sorry. Can you what?
Once in Acts 19, the one who was baptized under John's baptism, which was looking forward to the time that Christ's blood would be remitted. So John's baptism has been superseded by baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. So they were baptized. Oh, I guess you might say, an old baptism. They were baptized after the blood of Christ had been shed, looking forward to his blood being shed. So it was not, they had not obeyed the gospel and lived in Christ. So that's why
Well, it's, the baptism is required in the name of Jesus. Now, it doesn't, huh?
Yeah, by the authority.
Authority of Jesus, that way. But we don't know anything about what was by who John baptized, what he said, or anything by the authority of what. Doesn't say. And he can't do it, like I said, until the testator dies. And just the authority, he says he received all the authority from heaven and on earth. That's all. That's right. That's all he knew at that time. He did not know anything about it. That's right. That's all. If that's all he knew, that's, you know, that's why he's going to be preaching. Anything else? No. Don't get me. Yeah, just don't get us wrong there. He was not. Go ahead. He's a spirit. We don't know anything about it.
And so then he starts to tell.
Very good. Anybody else?
Quick comments. Jesus. So, you know, this is these events of with John coming and preaching, preparing the way, and then Jesus arrives are big events. So this is a big thing that's happening.
All right. Okay, let's continue on and says, any other questions or comment before I say? Okay. It said, Peter told him, said, you repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And let me tell you, you'll run into a lot of people, men, saying that you don't need to be baptized. Okay? But if you read this and look at all the other scriptures we're going to be talking about in Acts, you're going to see that baptism is essential for the remission, or unto the remission of sin. Your sins are not remitted just by repenting or calling on the name of Jesus. Baptism is important. We'll be talking more about it. But he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so is the gift the Holy Spirit, or is the Holy Spirit given a gift? What is it? People, you've been baptized here.
How the Holy Spirit is a prepositional phrase. You can take that out. Say, you shall receive the gift. The Holy Spirit is the one giving the gift. And we know from our study of the Holy Spirit that the gift came through the Word.
Okay.
That's how the Holy Spirit provided the gift. It came through the Word.
Okay.
Through Peter's preaching and his statement, repent and let every one of you be baptized. That's how they can access the gift that the Holy Spirit has given, which is the gift of eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Well, that had to do with being saved, and that was the answer that he gave him. If you want salvation, this is what you do. You baptize to receive the gift. Well, the gift is salvation itself. The gift of the Spirit is providing is the mechanism. He provides by baptism, but the gift itself.
So you tell me this is not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? There's another one you're going to find out. They'll be talking about is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Verse 39.
There you go.
Peter, this too.
Yeah. 10.
So, you know, all of that has refers to remission and salvation. Gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, we've talked about that before, how that Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. The sealing of the Spirit. The Spirit testifies. Look, when we call by the gospel, they responded to the gospel. They're in the not understand that, maybe perhaps the first reading, and you can see how people can twist it, try to make it mean something else. Right, you apply the word truth, you know, you put everything in its right places, and the consistency of what God says in regards to the call and how we're called, that kind of thing, it all falls into place.
Mm-hmm. Always you look at your context and both everything, we'll see a little bit later too. Excuse me.
Peter was introduced by the prophecy of Joel. The bottom line is the prophecy
of Joel called on the name of the Lord. Verse 22. Yeah, as I said, verse 22, verse 21. This is Joel, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, let me just say this one thing. While he was preaching this, and they heard and said, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would they not think that would be the answer? All I have to do is just call on the Lord.
They haven't defined calling on the Lord properly.
Well, I believe they understood that the calling on the Lord did not refer to that. That's right. There's your question. What does the Lord want us to do? And he tells them, he says, he wants you to repent, change yourself. Well, what have you done? You kill the Messiah. That's one thing. But your life is a sin. He says, you repent of that, and then you be baptized, and that's how you shall be baptized for remission of sins. Let me go ahead, Grant.
Before you reference Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, again, what's wonderful about God's word is you can go to other examples of conversion. And so, in Acts chapter 19, you have individuals who had actually the gift of tongues and prophesying, but when did it happen? Well, if you look at verse 5, it says they were baptized in the name of Jesus, okay? But then in verse 6,
no. Well, and he continues on. He says, you know, and you shall receive a gift from the Holy Spirit. And it's what it says, for the promise. But what's the promise? Well, the promise is remission of sins. What did he promise Abraham? Remember Abraham? Huh? All nations shall be blessed. All nations shall be blessed. And he says, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off. Now, do they really understand that, who are far off? Probably not. As many as the Lord our God will call through his word. This is the gift here. He's telling, and you have to realize too that when Peter's up there preaching, and when you see the other apostles preaching and teaching and everything like that, that is the Holy Spirit testimony also. Because they are been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. That is his testimony also to the witness confirming Jesus Christ. That's the apostles affirming and testifying, witnessing. But that is the Holy Spirit witnessing also. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. That's the Holy Spirit also testifying this. And he says, this is what he is. He testifying that this promise is sure. Your sins will be forgiven. Just mark it down. Your sin, if you repent, truly repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, your sin shall be forgiven. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It will happen because God can do it. And God is the only one through Jesus Christ that can allow you to have your sins to be remitted. When you come up from that water, your sins are gone. You killed the Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord. But when you come up from that water, that is all forgiven you. That's what they're looking for. They understand that we've did something terrible. Well, we've done our whole lives of something terrible, but this is horrible. What can we do to get forgiveness of that? And he's telling you, if you want all your sins remitted, you repent and be baptized. And when you come up from the water, all your sins, not part of them, all your sins, you're pure as white. Like Kenny was talking about earlier, purity. You're pure. Any other questions or comments? Well, I just want to say, let me do verse 40. I got a couple minutes here. I want to read verse 40. And when many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And I want to add this with what he's talking about in verse 39. Well, he says some other words. What he said, I don't know. But Luke tells him, he says, with many other words, he testified, this is what he's talking about, and exhorted, or witnessed and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Get yourself away from these people, this generation. Those that do not obey these things, you get away from them. Those are the ones, as we've been talking about, you don't want to have your fellowship with them. You want to have your fellowship with Christians. This is a perverse generation. What did they do? They crucified the Messiah. Now, how much more perverse can you get? Somebody that they've been really looking for, and reading about, and studying about, and knew about him coming. And they were anxious for him to see him come. But he said, you be saved from these people. That's what he's talking about. You repent and you be saved. Don't be like them. Change your ways from them. Any other questions before we end? All right, we'll start with verse 40, 41. Thank you.